There was another tremendous bang, and the next moment Harry found himself flat on his bed, thrown backward by the speed of the night bus. Pulling himself up, Harry stared out of the dark window and saw that they were now bowling along a completely different street. Stan was watching Harry's stunned face with great enjoyment. "This is where we was before you flagged us down," he said. "Where are we, Ern? Somewhere in Wales?"
"Ah," said Ernie.
"How come the muggles don't hear the bus?" said Harry.
"Them," said Stan contemptuously, "don't listen properly, do they? Don't look properly, either. Never notice nothing, they don't."
"Best go wake up Madam Marsh, Stan," said Ern. "We'll be in Abergavenny in a minute."
Stan passed Harry's bed and disappeared up a narrow wooden staircase. Harry was still looking out of the window, feeling increasingly nervous. Ernie didn't seem to have mastered the use of a steering wheel. The night bus kept mounting the pavement, but it didn't hit anything. Lines of lampposts, mailboxes, and trash cans jumped out of its way as it approached and back into position once it had passed. Stan came back downstairs, followed by a faintly green witch wrapped in a travelling cloak.
"Here you go, Madam Marsh,"
said Stan happily as Ern stamped on the brake and the bed slid a foot or so toward the front of the bus. Madam Marsh clamped a handkerchief to her mouth and tottered down the steps. Stan threw her bag out after her and rammed the doors shut. There was another loud bang, and they were thundering down a narrow country lane, trees leaping out of the way. Harry wouldn't have been able to sleep even if he had been travelling on a bus that didn't keep banging loudly and jumping 100 miles at a time. His stomach churned as he fell back to wondering what was going to happen to him and whether the Dursleys had managed to get Aunt Marge off the ceiling yet. Stan had unfurled a copy of the Daily Prophet and was now reading with his tongue between his teeth. A large photograph of a sunken-faced man with long, matted hair blinked slowly at Harry from the front page. He looked strangely familiar. "That man," Harry said, forgetting his troubles for a moment, "he was on the Muggle News." Stanley turned to the front page and chuckled.
"Sirius Black," he said, nodding. "Course he was on the Muggle News, Neville. Where have you been?"
He gave a superior sort of chuckle at the blank look on Harry's face, removed the front page and handed it to Harry.
"You ought to read the papers more, Neville."
Harry held the paper up to the candlelight and read, "Black still at large. Sirius Black, possibly the most infamous prisoner ever to be held in Azkaban Fortress, is still eluding capture, the Ministry of Magic confirmed today. We are doing all we can to recapture Black," said the Minister of Magic, Cornelius Fudge, this morning, "and we beg the magical community to remain calm. Fudge has been criticised by some members of the International Federation of Warlocks for informing the Muggle Prime Minister of the crisis. Well, really, I had to, don't you know," said an irritable Fudge. "Black is mad. He's a danger to anyone who crosses him, magic or muggle. I have the Prime Minister's assurance that he will not breathe a word of Black's true identity to anyone. And let's face it, who'd believe him if he did? While muggles have been told that Black is carrying a gun, a kind of metal wand that muggles use to kill each other, the magical community lives in fear of a massacre like that of 12 years ago, when Black murdered 13 people with a single curse.